We kick off hour number two of the program. Brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. It's the official credit union of Three and Out. Hickman said during the break that Josh Donaldson is a pretty big jerk out on the field. So
it'll take care of itself.
Anderson's saying now he told him back in 2019 not to call him that. But it's sounds like this is kind of a joke meant one way from one guy, mm-hmm. accepted a different way from the other guy. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about intent, and obviously I don't know exactly what Donaldson meant when he said it, but you know, if the guy really said don't call me that, like, probably best just to not do it.
Anderson, it was a 2019 interview with Sports Illustrated where he said, I'm today's Jackie Robinson, and the game is, it's getting to the point where I need to change the game.
I mean, does he, no offense to Tim Anderson, but like, he understands the significance of Jackie Robinson, right?
Well, and that's, I mean, you know, you can be unfair to both these guys, really. Like, Anderson, and, like, I don't know what, some people that have defended Anderson's comments back then are saying, well, he meant in the context of bringing fun back to the game, not so much the racial aspect. But that's where it's tough, because, like, in intent, good, in a good way or a bad way,
yeah.
is hard to judge. I don't like the fact that whoever says they're the victim gets to dictate all the terms of engagement. Like, that's not fair. Like, somebody can say something that hurts my feelings, but if what they said really shouldn't hurt my feelings, like,
that's kind of on you.
That's kind of on me. But that's not the way we operate anymore. We operate where whatever the victim says is the truth. And that makes it really difficult, because the victim can, in any situation, can dictate everything. And, you know, it can go the other way too. Like, if you know, I'm just talking about the victim here in terms of somebody saying, you know, mean words, not other situations. But I don't know. Like what if the pitcher at Mississippi State had charged Drew Gilbert running down third base,
yeah,
and tried to punch him in the face?
That'd be a bad move for him.
And then
Drew Gilbert would, you know, he'd duck it, and then it'd be over.
And then after
lights
the,
out.
And then after the game, they say, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "Because he called me a MF-er."
Yeah,
and that hurt my feelings. Whose side is the public gonna, the sports media and the sports the
first one to complain? Probably his. And then Drew Gilbert would say, well, he shouldn't have been calling us MFers when we were getting back in the box. It's like, right. No, but we heard his side of the story first.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the way it always works.
Whoever claims
whoever, first. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way I would probably see that shaken out. Or whoever got their face caved in, which would also be the Mississippi State pitcher, IMO JMO.
What if a Jackie Robinson descendant had said, that hurts my feelings that Tim Anderson compared himself to Jackie Robinson? Would we be on that person's side?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
That's what Jackie Robinson did for the game of baseball, and really sports in general, yeah, is unparalleled. The amount of criticism and venom that he endured to integrate the game of baseball is like that. That's what I didn't like about that. Like, I guess I get what he's saying, because Jackie Robinson was such a transcendent player at the time, you know, sensational athlete, but it's everything he had to endure to be the first African-American in the major leagues. I mean, I did a report on this in college, like Branch Rickey making that decision and going to Jackie Robinson and saying, hey, this is not going to be easy. This is going to be hell for you, but it's going to be good for you, and it's going to be good for the game, and it's going to be good for African-Americans in sports. And Jackie Robinson enduring that willingly, I just, like, what he went through, I don't know that really anyone afterwards, especially in Major League Baseball in 2019, gets to say, I'm the new Jackie. Like, I guess I just really don't know what he meant by that. So you're saying he meant, like, bringing the fun into the game? Like, Jackie did that.
Apparently, like, he also took shots at MLB on diversity. So he did, okay. he did mean it in a racial aspect as well.
Well,
but it stemmed because he flipped his bat and then a pitcher hit him for it. He also called the pitcher a weak ass effing N-word. Tim Anderson did. And then, you know.
Well, I don't know anything about that incident. I just find it, I don't know. Like, even if you are, you know, fighting for diversity in modern day, to say I'm the new Jackie Robinson is just like, that seems very disrespectful to Jackie Robinson and his legacy. Not that what you're doing isn't noble and good and right, but it's Jackie Robinson.
He said, I kind of feel like today's Jackie Robinson. That's huge to say, but it's cool, man, because he changed the game, and I feel like I'm getting to a point to where I need to change the game.
Well, at least he acknowledged the fact that that's a big statement to make. And I guess at that point, it's up to the eye of the beholder on whether you think that's a fair statement or not. But if you say something like that, I don't know if, like, I don't know. It does feel condescending for someone to then call him Jackie. Like, that feels like a shot at him for, you know, making such a claim. But I don't think that's racist in and of itself. That's not to say it couldn't have racist intent behind it, but also I don't know these guys' relationship. You said there was a potential dust up and they got into a little
kerfuffle. One guy's saying, I've done it before, it's not a big deal. The other guy's saying, I told him not to do that, we're not friends. So yeah. it's a
and I think that was the outcome of this one, right? Like, they're never talking again. Oh, yeah, essentially
definitely not. No.
yeah
I want to know what the worst thing, like, Michael Jordan ever said to a person was.
Well, he basically made Muggsy Bogues cry on the court.
And if that person had gone to the media and complained about it in 2022, I feel like...
Yeah, because Muggsy didn't tell that story until, like, years later.
I feel like people would think... Don't you think people would think differently of...
Gosh, yeah.
I mean, these NBA guys now, like, they're all buddies. For the, you know, a lot of them,
yeah.
On different teams.
Yeah.
Back then,
they hated each other.
You think a Pistons and a Bulls guy were going to just, like, hang out after the season?
No.
No.
No. They hated each other when they were on the Dream Team together.
Different era.
Like, that's what they said. Like, those are the best basketball practices in the world because we're on the same team at the Olympics, yeah, trying to beat the world, and we hate each other.
Right.
But then they obviously were, you know, one of the best teams ever assembled.
I don't know. Baseball. Are baseball players the softest guys?
Ooh.
But they pretend to be the hardest guys?
That's a good question.
I love Tony V. I do.
I don't want to say all baseball guys.
And I love Frank Anderson, but they have a much shorter fuse than any other coach on campus, right?
But that's kind of the thing. Like, with baseball, like, you kind of have to have... I mean, you know, some coaches will just say, hey, it's time for me to get a tech or two. You know, get thrown out of the game.
There's basketball guys like that. Rick Barnes is not one of those guys.
No, but like Cal's gotten thrown out of games intentionally before. But those feel calculated, and maybe I'm wrong. But when it happens, I guess because it's so unique on baseball, because, like, you know, if I'm on the sideline and I'm a coach in college basketball, like, the ref's going to walk right in front of me, and I can just be like, you know, and get it.
Yeah.
To talk to the ump, you got to storm the field and make a big, you know, big thing about it. I don't know if I'd say...
It's a little harder to talk trash in baseball, too. In basketball, you're right beside somebody. You can... I mean, you can just, like, grab their shorts for a second as you're waiting to, like, pop around the screen and be like, I'm about to bleepity bleep 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 bleep. But in baseball, I mean, you kind of have to yell it where people are going to hear it.
Well, that's what makes it so weird to me. Like, you say the wrong thing to a ref in college basketball, he tees you up right there. And you're right, in baseball, like, the whole stadium can hear it. And it's just kind of like, oh, just boys being boys. And then we, of course, then we have Macias say, no fur coat today.
Yeah, like.
Are the umps soft?
Do we need to rewrite the unwritten rules of baseball?
They're unwritten. If you write them, like, no, they're written. You can't do that.
Figuratively rewrite.
How do you change the unwritten rules?
Now, that's a question. What's the process? What's the amendment process?
Baseball is the absolute worst. And I don't care what anybody says. Like, not
what,
so
what
much,
do you, what do you mean?
Not
the only...
so much in college. Yeah, you'll have guys in blowouts swinging for the fences, still hitting the ball. And it's like, oh, my gosh, we're down 7 in the 8th, and you're going to swing?
You stole second.
Yeah, like,
you know, down 8. Or up 8 or whatever.
We were up 25 and the guy stole second. That's a little bit different. Like, let us go home already.
Like, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s own coach shamed him for hitting a home run.
Well, they're mad at us for stealing home on a pass ball, I think.
Throw a pitch.
See what I mean?
Like,
a strike.
I think petty's the word we're looking for, right?
It's
baseball's the pettiest.
It's a mockery of the game if you're standing there on third and there is a wild pitch and you just stand there. Like, that's more insulting than if you just jog to the home plate.
I think you're right, Hickman. I agree. But these guys are like that.
Well, no, but you bring up an interesting point. It's like the same people who will talk bleep the whole game are the first ones to get so offended when you break the unwritten rule.
Right.
I don't think petty's the word, though.
It's not?
It's like... I mean, you said it like fake tough guy kind of stuff. Like, I buy that. I just don't know exactly how I would phrase it.
Okay.
But I'm with you. Like, I know. Like, they got their armbands and their glove and their pants.
I think I know why.
And their eye black.
You're about to get to it. I think I know why this is a thing. We'll come back. We'll discuss more next.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN. Fan Run Radio.
Hour 2 continues.
So that's your theory.
That's my theory.
They just get bored out there.
There's too much time. There's not enough to do. I mean, in basketball, you got to talk trash while you play.
Yeah, that's true.
You're staying busy. You're working.
Not a lot of standing around.
No, it is it's constant movement, you know? Especially if you're playing at a high level.
Maybe that's it. Like, you know, you think about like bigs in the post. Like they're battling and running into each other all the time, but any contact in baseball is like whoa, 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 whoa. You offended me, like a play at the plate, right? An overslide going into the second. Like the one time someone touches another, you get a brouhaha.
Mm-hmm.
You get a battle.
I think they've got way too much time on their hands. You were starting to touch on it. You're like, they got the armbands, the eye black. The amount of crap they carry around while they play ball now has gotten ridiculous. They got the oven mitt.
So they don't
hurt a finger.
Well, I think that's a pretty good idea.
But you know what guys used to do, right?
No.
They would just hold their batting gloves in their hand.
Yeah.
Then that way, when they slid.
Yeah, but now with this new turf and the pellets, you gotta be able to grab the bag.
I want to create the new oven mitt that extends like 8 more inches. So you slide head.
Maybe that's why they wear it.
You slide head first. You're like, I mean, you're going to beat out. That'll be our marketing play. You beat out 17% more plays with this extended oven mitt handle thing.
It's like, oh, what size glove do you wear? Oh, small. Here's a double X. Double X long.
Yeah, it's just like this, you know. It's like a Edward Scissorhands length, but it's the mitt.
You might be onto something. Like just a stick. You just reach out and a 20-foot stick. It's like, oh.
Yeah, like what are the rules
on
that?
Are you caught in a pickle?
Like,
nope. I was.
Like, if my oven mitt extends 8 inches past the tip of my finger, when it touches the bag, am I really there yet? Shouldn't there be some type
gloves,
of, like...
Gloves part of the hand.
That's what I'm saying. Gloves part of
the hand. You have to accessorize in baseball, though. Because, like, it's the one sport. Even if you suck, if you got the right accessories, you'll still look awesome. Like, basketball, like...
couple arm bands.
Like Brian Scalabrine. I mean, he was all right, but like that guy looked like a loser. Like if you're a loser in baseball, but if you rock the right accessories, you'll look like a king.
We do like the accessories. All the eye black.
Oh yeah,
the eye black. We love the eye black.
Massive triangle eye black now.
It's like big sevens mm-hmm. going down the cheek. Got to have the big sunglasses now. That's the thing.
I like when the pitcher just pulls out a notebook out of his back pocket when a guy pinch hits. And he's like, "All right, let's see page 43." Okay.
Did we do that? I haven't seen like that. Did we do that?
I'm trying to think the guy that did it the other day. I was watching. Who played? We just played Mississippi State. I thought it was a Mississippi State guy, maybe one of the relievers.
Naturally, it would be one of them.
I don't think I've watched any. I watched one inning last night of South Carolina, Florida. It's when the Florida guy didn't send the dude from third, and the center fielder airmailed the throw. Did you see this?
No.
Okay, so I didn't even realize they were playing at whatever time it was, like 10:35. But I see a tweet that says, "Florida having a meltdown, so typical," or something. I was like, oh, I guess they're back. You know, they are playing. I didn't know where we were with all the rainouts and stuff. I didn't know that they had finished the previous game. So I flip it over to SEC Network, and apparently in the, I guess, eighth or ninth inning, I guess South Carolina had scored a run to tie it 1-1, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So they're now in the bottom of the ninth or bottom of the one. I tuned in the bottom of the ninth. It went top 10, bottom 10. In the bottom of the 10th, Florida has a guy on second with one out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ground ball up the middle past the diving shortstop, just to let you know how slow this grounder was. The Florida third base coach is waving him, and then after he hits third and is starting to go home, throws up the stop sign, almost runs into his player. I mean, almost touches him.
You got to send the signal.
And makes him go back. As the South Carolina center fielder runs in as hard as he can, fields the ball, throws it so like hard that he falls down after he throws it, mm-hmm. coming forward. And the ball is like 6 feet over the catcher's head, off the backstop. But the pitcher had backed it up, so the guys, he couldn't then run home.
Yeah.
And Florida looked like they had blown it. All right, so one out. The guy that hit that ball now ends up on second.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, South Carolina decides to pitch to this guy, even with first base open, instead of setting up the double play. I was wondering if that's the same third base coach that sent a guy from second in the National Championship Series, or maybe it was the game to go to the National Championship in Omaha against South Carolina when they threw the kid out at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's a little shell-shocked.
A little anyway, gunshot, yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that South Carolina outfielder had, like, no putouts on the whole season. Like, the weakest arm on the team. He threw that guy out in the big... Anyway. Next ball is a line drive to center. Center fielder comes running up, catches it on the fly. He sends him, tagging from third. Center fielder, throw to the plate, one hopper. It's perfect. Into the catcher's mitt. Applies the tag. He's out! He dropped the ball! He's safe!
Dottie Henson dropped the ball!
That's how it ended.
That hit was the equivalent of like a hitter hitting a meatball. I mean, that thing just... I think that thing was going 15 miles an hour over the middle.
the second hit?
The one that ended up bringing the guy home,
yeah.
Where the catcher dropped it.
I've seen that play this morning. I mean,
the scoring, yeah.
Dude, he had him dead. Yeah, he had him ready to go.
Perfect throw.
It really did look like a league of their own. Like, he has it, he tags, and then the glove just kind of like hits something and out pops the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Felt bad for that kid. Because they're done now, right? Like, they're not making
the whole season.
Yeah, they're not making the postseason.
He felt so bad.
Was that so? When Florida scores right there, it's over.
Yeah, it's bottom of 10.
Okay.
Yeah, walked it off.
That's tough.
And there was that whole other game last night. I don't know. Did you see any of that?
I just saw that Vanderbilt won, and that Barstool Mincy went up to the Vandy Whistler and gave him what for? Hero, legend.
What'd he say?
He said, "You're a disgrace to college baseball, and you should be ashamed of yourself." And then the Vandy Whistler said, "Bleep you." And then another guy said, "Bleep you." And then apparently the entire crowd applauded Mincy for saying that, because everyone hates those guys. There's two,
that's our two
Vandy Whistlers. No, I think there's just one there now.
There are they all? They alternate the home games, I guess, somehow?
You get a rest day, yeah.
Vanderbilt 3, Ole Miss 1. Man, low scoring. I guess the rain had all the bats cooled off, huh?
Yeah. What? Which is not good. We don't play well in the rain anyway.
Tried to click on the box score for this game and it
didn't pull it up?
Yeah.
ESPN?
No, it seemed to me to, I don't know, whoever was the home team, I guess. Oh, here it comes. Now, yeah, I guess, I think I said Ole Miss would win, so I was wrong about that. You picked South Carolina, though, so.
They should have won.
Both 1-1 on those games. What was the first game?
Georgia, Alabama.
Okay, you beat me, I think.
Who'd you take?
I said Georgia.
Alabama. I think I said Bama.
I think you did.
Because I didn't believe in Hickman's boy.
Was he pitching? Did he even
pitch? No, I can't remember who they pitched, but it wasn't him.
Blade Tidwell. We gonna
allegedly.
Are we going to stick with him if this game gets moved to, say, Friday?
I don't know. No. Because at that point, we're playing three games, right? Single elimination?
If it's single elimination. What if it's still double elimination? There's double headers and seven inning games. And Greg Sankey needs to get on the ball here. Is he the one that makes the calls on this, or is there like a...
like a rules committee type thing?
Or not even a committee. Is there like a tournament director? I mean, usually if you're at some... like local tournament, there's like a tournament director, and they're the official. They might ask for some advice from some people that help them put it together, but they got
to
make the call.
I would say Sankey has to approve, but he's busy lobbying for Saban in Washington.
He's with the Senate. Yeah, lots of important things.
Jack Wagon.
More Hour Two next.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WK.
Hour two continues. Appreciate Mincy giving the Vandy Whistler a piece of everyone's mind.
He got applauded.
He said you're a disgrace to the game. I wish somebody would just boil it down to you're annoying as all get out. Like your own players don't like you. Do you realize like
that was the best part about our series there earlier in the year was by game. Midway through game two and then into game three, he would try it, and everyone was just like, dude, shut up.
Yeah, you just please beat stop. Him so bad that it's like in a football game where you jump on him so early, the home crowd just sits there and like, ugh. Vanderbilt won, though. 3-1. That's who's next.
Do we like the fact that it's Vanderbilt? Because there's a lot of speculation the other day of, are we interested in this tournament?
I'm glad it's Vanderbilt.
I think both teams would have offered a little something. I mean, do we have beef with every team in the SEC right now?
We make beef.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, Ole Miss. Oh, yeah, that pitcher said that they took us lightly. And then, take us lightly now. And then, of course, Vanderbilt, it's in-state, and it's Tim Corbin. Yeah. I guess maybe we don't have – oh, no, we got beef with Mississippi State. I mean, they're not in the tournament, but, the pitcher who was talking all the smack. Bama hit Chase Dolander after stealing our signs.
Mm-hmm.
We hate LSU because of last year. Arkansas, I'd pay money to see Arkansas and Hoover just because I think our boys will be ready. Florida, we swept them, but I don't think we had beef with Florida.
Nah, but we can create it if we need to. That's the brilliance of Tony.
We would have beef with Kentucky because they were the only team to take a series from us, so we'd create some beef there.
Yeah.
Georgia.
I mean, there's a difference between beef and just motivation.
No, I'm talking, did we
What about
fight
LSU with... now, though? They got a new coach. We haven't played them.
Yeah, maybe not.
I mean, both teams
but because
win,
it's LSU,
the
I mean, they're like, the gold standard in the SEC when it comes to baseball.
They do have that home run record that...
Yeah. We'd probably try to break the home run record in that game.
If we had a little better bats, we'd be probably there.
Smaller park. That's what we needed.
Move the fences in.
That's what you've said.
He's complaining. He said there's not enough room to be one of the biggest stadiums in college baseball. Move the fences in.
Shrink the field.
Dude, double-decker all the way across the outfield. Like a major league park, The batter's eye is the only part that's not double-decked
the
whole way around.
They have the room to do that. They
Move
just,
the fence in.
I don't know what they do with that little parking lot. Could you not go like a subterranean parking lot right there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's going to take years to do it. Dig that thing out. Let's go.
That's what I'm saying. Just build it straight up.
Just a wall of noise.
You get sun in the park for like 2 hours a day because the walls are so high.
It's turf.
Yeah, it doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Just a good lighting system for the night games and you're set.
Oh, easy. Make sure you get the lights right. You know, went on a Vanderbilt situation.
Well, we'd practice under the lights, unlike those dullards.
Idiots. Is that the most embarrassing thing that's happened the entire baseball season for any team we've played?
Ooh.
Vanderbilt bragging about their new lights and not being able to see the ball under them.
You know, since we're probably not going to have a game today, recapping some of the best moments of the season is not a bad idea. That was really fun. Twilight time hits. Vandy with their new lights for the light show. They're so proud.
I mean, we've had a lot of moments kind of like that with our football team. It was so refreshing this year to have those moments happening to the opponents constantly with the baseball schedule. And then trying to listen to the announcers explain why that was the reason that Vandy wasn't winning, and then realizing a couple series later that, no, we're just that damn good. You idiots. Well, Vandy hadn't had these issues with the lights. This game would be a lot closer.
Well, and they kind of turned it around. Vandy ended up being pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they got swept by LSU to end the season. It was kind of weird. But no, was it the first one or the second one where the guy ran to the wall?
I think that was the
second one, wasn't it?
Right?
He ran to the wall, and the ball bounced in, like,
that
dead
one
center.
Umpire would have called it infield flower roll in the Braves playoff game. Remember
that's
that?
That's too soon. Too soon. That one still hurts me.
I told you we got burned with that in the softball team, right?
No, I don't think so.
Twice in the same game, infield fly was called. Once it was correctly called. First time, though, completely baloney. It was kind of a floating line drive. Like, shouldn't – it's called the infield fly rule. Shouldn't it have to be a pop fly to be the infield fly rule?
I don't know how –
like, how high
– little league softball
does
works.
The ball have to be for it to be an infield fly? I mean, what the rule says.
If technically it's flying, it's not the pop fly rule. It's the infield fly.
But if there's a line drive, like, right at the shortstop – that's not infield fly.
No, you actually see a lot of double plays on that.
Shouldn't there have to be time for the umpire to at least alert people that there's an infield fly?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Was the Vandy light ball show worse than the Mississippi State players running into each other over the weekend?
Oh, that hurt. That was bad.
That guy's, is he okay?
I don't know.
Cumbist? Because those two guys hit hard.
Who do you blame on that play?
It depends on who called it.
The left fielder called it, but I think he might have just called it so early that the shortstop
didn't hear him.
Him.
Well, they charged the error to the shortstop, right?
Yeah. Well, I said that's on the shortstop. Left fielder called it. He's coming in. He's coming forward.
He's coming to the ball.
Other guy's got to get out of the way.
But once you call it, you got to call it a couple times. You got to communicate out there.
Yeah, it's true.
And because he didn't, he may have broken his jaw.
And he was coming a long way. I feel like the longer you're coming, the more you better call it.
100%.
Faster they run, the harder they fall.
Is that pretty much it for embarrassing opponent mistakes?
Ole Miss getting just touched up for homer after homer after homer as they were the number one team in the nation their announcers.
Yeah, you know, he's been pitching really – oh, God.
Auburn was the best moment of the season, the 17-run game that we just kind of pulled from nowhere.
Why do I not remember that? I know I watched it.
That the one where the pitcher got hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were ahead, right? It was like 4-3.
And then we scored what, like, I think like...
Like 14 unanswered.
14 unanswered.
Something like that.
Like 14 of our last 17 batters scored.
That's crazy.
We scored 15 runs in the 7th and 8th innings after being down 4-2 to start the bottom of the 7th.
The 27-2 beatdown of Mississippi State was pretty cool, though.
Yeah, but we knew they sucked. Like, Auburn was ranked top 20 at the time.
Yeah.
And it was game one.
A lot of those teams were in the top 20 at the time, and then we beat them so bad that they dropped out and never made it back in. We take souls.
I liked when Dave Neal was on play-by-play and KP tried to tell us how great the Georgia pitcher was doing, really keeping him in the game as the ball went over the fence.
He's like, I tried to get out of the way.
I tried. Can't.
He did that twice that game.
Playing at Minute Maid was cool. I mean, outside of the Texas game, Like the Texas game up until when Burns got pulled was awesome. Watching the ball just fly out of the yard in the MLB ballpark was cool.
Yeah, the inside the park home run was awesome.
Like that game, honestly, like, you know, last year we struggled hitting the ball deep in Omaha, and like seeing that game, seeing us just go yard time after time after time in that stadium was like, all right, we can do this.
And the way they bounced back after that Texas loss. Because at that point in the season, we really had no idea what to expect. We knew Texas was number one. Well, was that 7-3 the final?
Yes, 7-4? I believe. And
but they bounced back. They won the next two against Burns, Baylor and Oklahoma.
Burns, I mean, that was his, like, hey, I'm here. Like, he put the nation on notice that game.
Did we pull him too early in that one? I mean, I know it was early in the year, and we're probably still trying to get guys into the flow.
I think we let him go five, maybe four. But it was only like 70 pitches.
Yeah.
So he probably had another 25 in him. Probably could have went two more innings. I think even Vitello admitted after that game that he wished.
I feel like you're right. I think you're right.
If you do that, we kind of, after we pulled Burns, is when both teams started scoring.
Yeah.
And maybe if you ride him out a little longer, you get the jump on Texas instead of them getting the jump on you. So then they're playing from behind, and maybe it turns out differently. But who knows? You know.
No, that was a fun. Not a series. The Shriners, right? Yeah, Shriners Classic.
Kids, classic.
That was good.
Dude, Callum sends a video of this the Vandy play where the second one to right you're talking about.
Yeah.
Where so it's Lipscomb up, and the great thing is there's two outs too, so everybody's just running their ass off, right?
Yeah.
The catch
it
doesn't matter. But at the end of the clip, it slow-mos the right fielder, and you got to watch the crowd behind him because some people have lost track of the ball as well, and they're like
ducking to get hit.
They're like in the first couple rows, they're like, is this going to be a home run? And
so then, they couldn't see it either.
And then there's some Vandy guys that see it, and they're like Surrender Cobering, like, what are you doing? Like one guy's like pointing, like, it's way over there.
That was one of the best coaching moves of the season by Tony Vitello. The night before the first game, he decided to take his team out and specifically ask for a twilight practice time so that they could get used to the lights. And Vanderbilt, and under their new lights, had never played under them in the twilight period. They practiced, I think, earlier that afternoon with them on, but obviously until you play under the twilight time, it doesn't really matter.
There's one guy sitting there that just goes, just throws his hands up, lets them fall. Like, what are we doing here?
I mean, we embarrassed Vanderbilt. Like, yes, we won the three games, but they were awful that entire series. I mean, they couldn't field, they couldn't throw, they obviously couldn't catch. That was a fun series.
Final segment, hour two, back at you next. Final segment, hour number two. Tony V did get some work in last night.
Rocking the Barca jacket. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a Barcelona fan? Must be. Better he's just like, color looks good.
Yeah. Who knows?
Perfect shade of Tennessee orange. Old jumper jacket. Amazing.
He's had some thoughts on baseball scheduling.
I thought we talked about this earlier in the season. He mentioned this, or it got leaked, that Tennessee was looking into, when the new Smokies Park is built downtown, a two-stadium pre-league season tournament. I think it's a great idea. I mean, I realize that the weather that time of year around here can be a little dicey, but it's better than going to, what game was it? It was like 2 or 3 years ago, Minnesota opened up their season in a blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not going to get that. You might get, you know, we might get rained out or something, but I think that's a great idea.
He said, Tony V said, I think just going into those things like we did at Minute Maid, that's where, Tennessee played Texas and Oklahoma, because you want to be the best team there, or you want to be the best team out of the teams you play. We didn't play UCLA, for instance, in Houston, but it is a round robin. You can set your pitching. There's no kind of ifs or if necessaries or any of that. I've played in some tournaments where there is a championship. I don't think I've played one where there's double elimination. I think that would be tough to do at the beginning of the year. I would like to directly answer your question with for the future is I would love to help host one of those tournaments. With the new Smokies Park downtown and Lindsey Nelson Stadium, you could have two tremendous venues in a great city, fairly warm weather. I mean, for February or March, no matter where you go, it's a little bit of a flip of the coin. But warm enough weather to attract teams to something like that and have a championship or a final, I think for a lot of reasons that would be an awesome event. And to get to your point, I think it would help you later down the road. So the question was more like, you know, would you like to see some type of format that's like the postseason earlier in the season?
Yeah, I agree with him on the whole double elimination thing. I don't think you want that. But a Tennessee Invitational Tournament, that'd be awesome. Maybe you don't call it the Tennessee Invitational Tournament, though. Acronym on that would be a little tough. I didn't think that one through, and I'm sorry. Welcome to the TIT. I'll work on the name. I got to workshop that.
You could raise money for breast cancer awareness.
That's actually not bad. Isn't January Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Am I wrong there?
I should know that. That's bad. Sure. No, it's not. It's like, it might be October.
It's during football season. Yeah. The NFL does it.
Mm-hmm. So we'll scrap the Tennessee Invitational Tournament.
It's October,
That's what I thought. We'll scrap that idea, but we'll come up with a cool name.
Okay.
Because it has to have Tennessee and Invitational. Mm. The Invitational Tournament of Tennessee, the ITT. Mm. Ah, we already have that. Like ITT Tech.
You want to use Knoxville instead of Tennessee?
We could do Knoxville, yeah. That'd be good.
The kit.
The tick. The tournament of invitation at Knoxville. Tennessee Invitational Tournament. Sorry.
It's either some of your best work or not your best work. I'm not sure which.
I mean, Tennessee Baseball Invitational per Jake Miller, the TBI. We could raise money for the TBI, Bureau of Investigation.
Do they need money?
Probably not. Probably good.
It's a government issue.
Did you see what Tony V said about kind of finding the niche here? About how he's been at, he obviously played at Missouri, but like Arkansas, and you've got obviously Mississippi State, and kind of finding his perfect program identity and how he likes guys that have a little bit of an edge to him.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I mean, does that not make perfect sense? And he's said this 1,000 times, right? He wants gentlemen in street clothes and just killers on the field. And I feel like that's exactly what you've gotten. Has there been a disciplinary issue with a Tennessee baseball player since he's been here?
Not really that I'm aware of.
Not off the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's had more problems than players. chest bumps for charity.
How many times has he been thrown out? He's been suspended twice, right?
Yeah.
Suspended twice. He got a 2-game and a 4-game.
Mm-hmm. I think it's 3.
Is it 3?
Because he had the one where he did the lemonade stand.
That was the Kentucky game 2 or 3 years
2017,
ago.
2017, I believe.
Yeah.
He got kicked out in the Vandy game at home last year that I was at.
Oh, that's right.
And then Alabama this year.
And then he's had the dust-up with Dave Van Horn. The dust-up with Bama's coach and obviously Macias this year. Our players just kind of talk junk, but they back it up, so it's okay. But when Tony goes, he goes.
He goes. Mm-hmm.
I think an invitational tournament would be pretty cool. Would you invite league teams or just all out of conference?
All out of conference.
Okay.
I mean, we got it. Yeah. Unless there's a way to, preemptively invite the teams you're not going to play that year. Like, it would have been cool to have LSU.
Oh, yeah. Well, you would know that. You could know that ahead of time. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't be bad. So, like, you would play every team in the SEC at least once, maybe?
Maybe. That could work, right?
Because who all did we not play this year? We didn't play LSU. We didn't play Arkansas. Is it just those two? No, we didn't play Texas A&M. Hmm. You could do that. That would work. I like that idea, Nate. That way you play everybody in the SEC at least one time, so there's no surprises when you get to Hoover. Look at you. Look at the big brain on you.
There you go. Just fixing the world out here. College baseball.
Did you fix the weather in Hoover?
I can't fix the weather, man. Sorry.
Yeah. Quick update. Yep. Pouring rain. Nice. Oh, yeah. Just a big old storm.
Yeah?
Love it.
Well, they'll have it all tarped up. We still got an hour and a half before first pitch. How's the radar?
Awful. First pitch will not be at 10:30. I'll go ahead and I'll let you know. Yeah, I'll let you know that right now. First pitch at 10:30 ain't going to happen. Nice try. Good effort.
Okay. Fair enough.
Ooh, Rusty says the Volunteer Invitational Tournament. The VIT. I like that.
Okay.
We might have a new leader in the clubhouse.
All right. I like the sound of that. Yeah, you probably can't do. Double elimination wouldn't even really make sense because you know in your head it's a regular season event. You're not going to be, even if it's an elimination game, it's not going to have the same stress.
No, you just do what you did
as an actual.
Like the preseason basketball tournaments, like these four teams play, the winners then play, the losers then play. And then, I mean, I guess at that point you could have like another game for the quote unquote championship, but you wouldn't necessarily have to.
Or you could just do a four-team round robin.
Yeah, yeah.
You could play the losers, and you know, I mean, you can bracket out an entire.
Just do exactly what you did in Texas. Like you may not play every team there, or you, I guess at that point it'd probably be impossible. So you won't play every team there, but you know who your starting opponent is.
Well, there are only four teams there, and we only played two games.
No, there were because it was Texas, us. LSU, UCLA, Baylor, Oklahoma. Was there six or was there eight?
How many games did we play? Two or three?
Three. We played Texas, Baylor, Oklahoma.
I forgot about Baylor.
Baylor stole like six bags in an inning, and I was losing my mind.
10-5. I remember that game now. Like you said, UCLA was there.
Wasn't LSU there too?
No, I don't remember. I mean, you could invite eight teams and just play. Everybody plays three games. So it's single elimination of the championship.
It was six teams.
Okay. Let's invite eight and put two games at Lindsey Nelson, two games at Smokies Park.
Yeah.
First day.
Mm-hmm.
Or really every day, right? And then you're going to have. You're going to play three games. You win them all, you're the champion. That's single elimination.
Yeah.
Right? If you lose the first day, then all the losers and all the winners play first day, and then you just cross bracket those winners and losers and keep threading them towards stronger or weaker opponents.
Yeah,
it's easy. So that final day, there's a third place game, fifth place game, seventh place game.
Yes,
money fixed it.
Well done.
Just can't fix the weather.
You're listening to 3